Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Thanks so much for listening to this podcast from Live the Promise. There are many more podcasts available up on the website at myfaithradio.com, and your support makes this possible. Thank you.
Thanks for tuning in today. I'm so glad you joined us. I'm Bill Arnold, and I'm in for Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise. We're here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. Welcome to Live the Promise, and a very happy Tuesday, hour two. So glad you're with us today. I love filling in for Susie. She's on vacation, having the greatest time ever. Hopefully, she is relaxing, but I always say, you know, when you participate in Team Live the Promise, you are in a great team. And when you're on a team, as far as I'm concerned, I don't care who gets the credit, as long as it's me. Your thoughts, Matt?
You're doing a great job.
I love when you do that. Thank you. Faith Radio has just been so good to me. I mean, they've been talking to me about maybe they want me to participate in a 401k, which is kind of cool, but who can run that? That's like 249 miles. I'm not doing that. That's ridiculous. I might do a 5K tops, but this is insane. So I don't know what kind of crazies you got around here. But anyway. All right. What about how to bring out the very best in your spouse? That is a big question. Relationships are an ongoing, difficult thing. They're a lot of joy. They're wonderful. But they are work at times, and you have to be willing to do the work. But you have to have the information and the tools to know how to very best bring out what the best in your spouse. So I'm talking to Todd Mullican today. He's actually in studio, and he's from Mullican Counseling Center in Edina. And Todd, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Bill. Appreciate it.
Yeah. Now, the five ways to bring out the best in your spouse. I want all listeners to know that this is going to be a listener participation show. So whenever you get a question, you can certainly give us a call and do that at 1-877-933-2484. And we will do our best. We've got a counselor in the house today, so we can take your questions and we can get you answers. So let's talk about the best way to bring out the best in your spouse. Try to talk, Bill. Here we go. And they're different for men and women, aren't they?
They are. I started to see the patterns. First of all, my own story. I've been married 28 years, so I was noticing patterns in my own relationship with my wife. And then after counseling for about the same length of time, over 28 years, just to start to see certain patterns, certain things that men tend to desire the most in the marriage for their best in Christ to come out, and certain things that women desire the most for their best to come out.
All right, let's
start. Because we're pretty good at bringing out the worst in each other.
We are indeed. That's not that hard to do. Let's talk about the things that women want. Mm-hmm. Let's start with that.
Well, if I could sum it up into a pattern that I see most of the time, is that in the courting process, the male is on the offense. He's pursuing his wife. He's loving her as Christ loved the church. He's all in. He's this girlfriend he's met. He's just excited. He can't wait to marry her. He's all in. And he's on the offense. He's thinking about her. She's on his mind.
Mm-hmm.
And she responds to that. And if she has similar feelings, she embraces that. She feels pursued. She feels thought about. And in return, she's usually giving the things that men need the most, which is acceptance and affirmation. And so this dance is happening beautifully. But one of the patterns I've noticed after marriage starts, and it's not all on us guys, for sure. It's a 50-50 deal. But one of the patterns I've noticed is for us fellas, is we just settle into a sense of complacency where our spouse seems, when they appear happy, then we feel like, okay, we're good, and I think we're good now because she's happy. And so then we end up sliding into the provision stuff, or just other parts of our identity seem to pay, you know, we pay more attention to that than giving our best to our wife. So we stop the pursuit of her. We stop initiating. We stop creating. We stop planning. We stop, you know, coming towards her, if you will, spiritually, emotionally. Mm-hmm. And so what then tends to happen is the woman will say, well, who changed the rules? I thought this was a dance where I was feeling pursued and I was loving you back and respecting you as I read about in the scriptures, and we're rolling. And then so the woman's kind of in a dilemma at that point where she doesn't feel pursued. She doesn't feel thought about. She doesn't feel acknowledged. And then I write about that in my book, where the woman ends up having a dilemma where if I don't say anything, then nothing happens. And if I say stuff, I come off like I'm a nag. Mm-hmm. And so it's a dilemma that I've seen with most couples. So it's really fun if the guy can, in a loving way, not in a, well, here's the 10 things this book says and that book says and this book says,
right,
but here's just who I am as a child of God, and I love my wife. I haven't been showing that recently. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to come towards her spiritually and emotionally. Just think of her.
Mm-hmm.
Notice her.
Mm-hmm.
And so the woman's top need, I have found, is to feel pursued, both spiritually and emotionally.
Okay, be practical now. What are the things that they're looking for when you say they want to be pursued? What do they want to have happen?
You know, it's sometimes it's just a kind word. It's, you look beautiful today, or I'm so glad I'm married to you, or, you know, can we sit down tonight and look at the week, because I'd love to date you this week, or, you know, we haven't had a getaway in a year, hon. Let's do something, you know, let's get some on the books, because it's been a while. And so it's being the initiator of conversation and coming towards her. Or, you know, especially it's amazing if, you know, we can come towards her with, hey, you know, what was your sense of the sermon today? I kind of had trouble with it, or I felt this way about it. How did you see God working in you in that sermon? Or developing some spiritual language together. That when the guy can initiate that, it can be golden, because she feels noticed. I have three young adult daughters, and, you know, I remember when they were young, it takes them longer to get ready in the morning than me, right? Okay. And why is that? You know, why do women take longer than guys?
I'm not the answer man, Todd.
But again, I'm not saying it's all this, but sometimes they, you know, want to be noticed, want to be thought about.
Oh, sure, sure.
Right?
Yeah.
And so when the guy is pursuing in that way, spiritually, emotionally, usually he sees more of the best.
Okay, let's back up a little bit. When you said the woman feels like she's cornered and all she can do is then ask for it, then all of a sudden she says, well, the only reason you're doing it now is because I asked for it, so it doesn't feel organic, and now she's still not happy. So what's going on there?
Now the guy's on the defense. Okay, what did I do wrong now?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-oh. Well,
it sounds like he's on eggshells.
Right. He can be, and I don't want to make a mistake. And so then he gets very passive. He can. Not all guys, but he can, because he doesn't want to mess up. And so instead of playing defense, he needs to start playing offense again and start to initiate, start to create, start to pursue her with planning, with being a good parent, to be present as another P. So I talk about these five P's, Bill, that women seem to talk about.
Yeah.
So the pursuit is one.
Pursuit's number one.
Planning dates and times together.
Okay.
And, you know, some of us are really good planners. Some of us don't know what day it is. But if you're a good planner, then use that gift to sit down with your wife every Sunday and look at the week, look at the month. If you're not a planner, if you're in the moment, if you're spontaneous, then when you're thinking about a date, when you're thinking about a getaway, text her, knock on her door, talk to her about the fact, I just love to spend some time with you on a date.
So there's just a big stark contrast from when the pursuit was on and the guy was overlooking all kinds of stuff and crossing every T and dotting every I, and all of a sudden they're in a routine and a rhythm where the subject almost never comes up, and she feels a little lonely for those times when she felt more pursued, and she would love her husband to say, you know, something that resembled those old days.
Right. And in general, we're problem solvers. And that's a dilemma for us guys. So if our wife appears happy, then the problem solved. Check. You know? And if she's unhappy, then we go, oh, I got a problem. Now I'm going to step up. So that's the dilemma I found. So I try to work with the guys on, you know, it isn't about, again, just being them. You know, your wife didn't fall in love with you because you read a book of how to meet each other's needs 5 months before you got married. Right?
Yeah.
You fell in love because
you read it
was
the weekend before.
That's maybe right. But, you know, in general, you just can't stop. I got two speeding tickets because I couldn't wait to see my wife when I was courting.
Right, right. All right. So the first P is she wants to be pursued. The second one is planning. Make sure you're trying to make an effort to plan so she feels like you're being intentional.
Right.
All right. What would be the third P?
The third is, if there's kids involved, how does a guy do being the nurturing male in the home? Is he a Is he a guy that is he a guy whose mood controls the home through anger and intimidation? Big problem.
Mm-hmm.
Or is he a guy that brings the gentleness and the fruits of the Spirit into the home where he has the regulated engine?
Mm-hmm.
He's the one that is mature and nurturing, and the girls or boys in the home know that, you know, they have a safe attachment with their earthly mm-hmm. father like they do their heavenly father.
What are some things that could be done to help the guy be less, more loving in the home? He comes back from a very stressful day, and the minute he walks in the door,
yeah,
he's got a list of things that has to be dealt with and handled, and all of a sudden he's flooded.
Yeah.
Is there something that can be done, or is that a personality thing? It's like, well, my husband doesn't need any time when he gets home.
Yeah.
And when the truth is, actually, he does, but he's just pretending that he doesn't.
And usually when we're in that spot, we're playing not to lose. We're as a couple, we're struggling. So the woman's kind of on the guy, and the guy feels like he can't do anything right. But usually that's happening because they haven't done things ahead of time. They haven't sat down that Sunday night and looked at the week, or he isn't calling her on the way home saying, hey, I've had a day from Hades. I'm struggling. How's mm-hmm. your day? I'd mm-hmm. just love to have some downtime when I get home. Was the thing, how are the kids looking? You know, how's mm-hmm. it look? You know, just some, again, it isn't big stuff. It's just that connection is important. So we're being proactive versus reactive.
Okay. So we've got pursued, planning, parenting. What would be the fourth P?
Well, this is an interesting one. It's called protection. So in my books, I've noticed a pattern. I don't know if you've seen this, Bill, but the guys tend to be you either have a guy that's more assertive or a guy that's more passive, and the same with a woman. So one person's more of a director. At their best, they're decisive. They speak the truth of Christ. They initiate things. They make the tough call. At their worst, they're maybe controlling. They have to be right. They have to win. Their mood controls the homes. And there's usually one of those in the marriage. And then there's another one that's more the grace of Christ, who's nurturing, who's pleasing, who's helpful. But they avoid conflict. They build resentment. They tend not to speak their mind. So mm-hmm. with a protection idea, what I've noticed is that if the guy is more dominant and the woman's more passive, she usually puts protection on the top of her list. And when what she wants protection from is his mood, because she's frightened. The mood is controlling. The mood is intimidating. It's in that realm of abuse. So she wants protection from that. Now, if we have the other situation where the woman's more direct and the guy's more laid back, the woman still puts protection high. And what I've usually found is she wants protection from his mother. because sometimes I've seen this pattern, and it's after the holidays, Bill, all the time,
mm-hmm.
where kind of a nice guy, mom's maybe a little meddling too much into mm-hmm. the marriage, and he's going, boy, you know, he's seen that his wife's upset with his mother, but he's going, oh, I hope this all goes away. Can we just not talk about this? And
that's
so
typical
it's not
guy behavior, isn't it?
Right. And she's going, you know, I was really hurt when your mom said those things to me. And he's going, well, and I wasn't there, you know, when that happened. Mm-hmm. So are you sure that really happened? You know, not good.
Yeah.
You do not want to
see. He's got
that.
The broom trying to sweep it under the rug as fast as possible. All right. We're going to take a little break. Lots more with Todd Mullican. You're listening to Live the Promise. Bill Arnold in for Susie Larson. Well, I hope you're having a great day. We'll be right back. Back to Live the Promise, Bill Arnold in for Susie Larson. What are the top five ways to bring out the best in your spouse? We're talking to Todd Mullican today. He's the president and director of Mullican Counseling here right in Edina, Minnesota. And Todd, we're going through the things that women desire. So far we have, they want to be pursued, they want planning done, they want parenting from the husband, and then protection. That's where we last left off. And let's wrap that one up.
Okay, so I talked about sometimes if the woman is more pleaser-based and the guy is more assertive and at his worst controlling, she usually wants protection from the mood that he's creating in the home. Because oftentimes in his anger he is sinning, or as Proverbs 29:11 says, he's giving full vent to his anger, which mm-hmm. is not okay. So how is the guy doing with creating a safe place when there are disagreements? But I've also seen the opposite, where the woman will still desire protection, but that's typically a case I've seen there is when the guy is more a little bit more passive and kind and nurturing, but more avoidant. And sometimes his mother gets involved in the marriage in a level that's too much.
Mm-hmm.
And the wife gets frustrated, and so then the guy feels caught in the middle. And so how is he doing with putting his wife first? And that can be a challenge. So how is he doing not being against his mother, but maybe just saying, geez, Mom, when you said that yesterday, that I think that was hurtful the way you said that. And
mm-hmm.
I love you, but I'd ask you not to, you know, talk to Susie like that next time.
I suppose there's two different phases, too, connected to the mother. Phase one would be when they get married, and then things really get amped up when grandkids come into play.
It can get worse.
That's got to be a huge game changer.
It can be.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
All right. What's the last one, the last P?
For the guy to be present emotionally. So is he, when he's home, is he really home? Which
uh-huh.
doesn't mean he needs to talk about his feelings for 5 hours or
right.
read poetry for 3 hours.
They don't have 5 hours of feelings.
They don't.
No.
No. I mean, I know we're trying to make men into that, but we have feelings for sure. We need to know what they are. It's very important. But that isn't usually what happened in the courting anyway. There's just that sense that she feels he's present. They're there together. So I work with them, especially if there's kids involved, work with, if you will, the 5 to 9 when they're both home, or 6 to 9, whatever it is, work together on getting the kids down and then have time together where they're connecting a little bit and have time on your own. But the idea is that sometimes as guys, we just wander, even
mm-hmm.
though we're home, where our mind is so much, you know, God said to Adam in the fall, hey, to dust you are, to dust you shall return. You'll be toiling after selfish gain your whole life. Well, my interpretation of that is I still see us guys sometimes being too defined by what we do. Geez, am I a good counselor? Am I really a good professor? And that defines me versus, well, how am I really, you know, loving my wife well today? Or, you know,
it's a tougher scorecard.
Yeah.
A lot tougher.
So I think as guys, we got to make sure we know that whose we are. Our identity obviously is in Christ. And from that place of contentment, we love our wives well.
Mm-hmm.
And the truth usually is that as long as she sees the person working hard, it's really, in general, less about the money. It's more about, you know, they fell in love sometimes in the, you know, when both weren't financially doing well a lot of times.
Right.
You know what I mean? So being present is a big deal for the woman to feel loved and feel
mm-hmm.
secure.
Okay. Those are the 5 things that a woman wants. And if you have a question or you want further information on any of that, give us a call, 1-877-933-2484, and we'll take your questions or comments. Let's talk about the 5 things men are looking for to bring out the best. So what can women do to bring out the best in their man?
Right. So they're all, you know, the editor wants everything to begin with the same letter kind of thing. So,
well, give me his number. I'll take care of him. I'll handle that for you.
The first two actually are similar. The first is to feel accepted for who they are. It seems to me that a fair amount of the times the men I work with feel like their spouse is trying to change them.
They are, well,
trying to make
they
them,
are, aren't they?
Right. And so some of that is, you know, understandable if there's issues, but there's different ways to go about that. You know, we can share our feelings, see a counselor, have some healthy conflicts. What are we doing next with that? But when the guy tends to feel like all he hears is who he isn't
mm-hmm.
versus who he is, sure, there's unacceptables in marriage, for
mm-hmm.
sure.
Adultery,
addiction, abuse, you know,
sure.
big unacceptables. We're not talking about that. We're talking about the basic things in marriage where, so it's very important for the guy to feel accepted because, as you heard from your last guest, you know, a lot of us are just really hard on ourselves and we don't feel like we measure up.
Mm-hmm.
I remember working with a situation a long time ago where there was an affair going on, and the first book I wrote was on affairs, so I get a lot of business with affairs, and he was very hurt that his wife had an affair, and it was about 20 years in. But he was also realizing that he hadn't been present, he hadn't been pursuing, he hadn't felt really affirmed by her much, so he was really angry a lot. And he came in and he said, you know, I think I figured some of it out. He said, you know, when I worked for my father back in the day, I remember one time specifically when I went in to see him and this guy said, hey, you know, Dad, I got the big account. I nailed it.
Mm-hmm.
And his dad looked at him and said, Joe, your tie is off a little bit there. You might want to fix that. So he never received affirmation.
Mm-hmm.
He never received acceptance. Now, is it his wife's job to fill that hole? No. He fills that hole through his Heavenly Father, knowing that he's loved, accepted,
mm-hmm.
and approved. But at the end of the day, guys are really hard on themselves in general. So when the woman can look at who he is versus who he isn't and share some of those things, hey, you know, thanks for all that you do, or thought you did a great job with the kids today, or just those things that are affirming and accepting based, that's really helpful for the guy.
You know, even starting as a kid, kids want eyes on them all the time. If they're out doing anything, you know, you got to come watch. You have to come study and practically watch everything I do. So you have, from a very young age, you've got a desire to be noticed.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden you become an adult and you start doing cool things and your significant maybe is not noticing.
Right.
Like you'd like them to. Like the guy with the, you know, lands the big account and the dad says, your tie is crooked.
I know.
Going, oh, well, you didn't notice? I just landed the big account?
Yeah, and it's, sure, I always say to everybody, is my capacity to love greater than my need to be loved? So my capacity to love my wife, to love my kids, needs to be greater than my need to be loved from, because I'm loved by God. You know, because I feel accepted and approved mm-hmm. and content in my walk with Christ, I'm bringing that contentment into this relationship. But at the end of the day, it still fills a guy when he knows that his wife does find him, you know, the things that she, that he loves or the things that she loves about him, she's letting him know about those. Again, not constant, but mm-hmm. that sense of feeling affirmed. And I work with all couples on what I call a 5-to-1 ratio, where you try to give each other 5 compliments for every 1 criticism.
Mm-hmm.
And not so that it's kind of cheesy and stupid where we give 5 little compliments and then come down with a hammer emotionally, but rather just that sense of, are we having God's eyes for each other? Are we looking at what we're for with each other?
Mm-hmm. So in other words, you have to love the man you're married to and not trying to change him, but you can certainly want to encourage him to improve in areas of life.
Of course.
And what's the difference? How do you parse that out without making it look like you're trying to change somebody?
Well, the conflict stuff I talk about is speak without offending, listen without defending.
Mm-hmm.
So my wife might say to me, geez, you know, I love when we worship together
mm-hmm.
and, you know, you haven't been for a couple of weeks and it's really important for me that you're with me when we worship, for example,
mm-hmm.
something like that. That's a very non-offensive statement versus, mm-hmm. you know, what's up with your walk, man? You are, you know, you don't know what you're doing. And,
yeah.
you know, I love Jesus more than you or something
yeah.
that's really offensive,
yeah.
you know. So, again, not because the woman should walk on glass. No, she should be confident and strong and
uh-huh.
assertive. But I think when she can share what she's for with him versus what she's against. But when she has to share what she's against, that's okay, but just try to do it in a way that's healthy, non-offensive. And then
mm-hmm.
the guy should be non-defensive. Good luck with that, guys.
Yeah,
but try to be
kidding.
Non-defensive and say, okay, thanks for letting me know that, or appreciate your honesty, and then we're having some honest conversations.
What about when people say, well, I just speak my mind, you know, and they use that as almost a club? Because what you're saying is really lovely, speak without being offensive, but that takes some thought, and you have to kind of prepare what it is you're going to say. And then I'm asking, is there a filter on my brain now, or should there be a filter on my brain all the time?
And
so
that,
I'm polite, so I'm not offensive, so I say things that are kind and loving.
That's why I think it's important that we look in the mirror and say, am I more of a truth teller, or am I more of a grace person?
Hmm.
I'm more of a truth teller, then I gotta work on some grace.
Mm-hmm. All right, Todd, if you have questions for Todd, give us a call, 1-877-933-2484. We'd love to take your questions or comments. And we are just started the things that men are looking for from their spouse. So we've got a cliffhanger, 4 more to go. So we'll take a short break. And when we come back, we're going to have more with Todd Mullican. Thanks for being with us tonight. Today, Bill Arnold in for Susie Larson. I'm used to working at night. You can tell that, can't you? Be back in a minute. We're back with Todd Mullican. Nice to have you listening today to Live the Promise. Bill Arnold in for Susie. And we're talking about the ways to bring out the best in your spouse. So right now we're talking about the things that the man is looking for from their spouse to make their lives better.
Yes, sir. So we talked about acceptance.
Accepting.
Feeling accepted for who they are. Romans 15:7 says, accept one another as Christ accepts you in order to bring praise to God. So there's a powerful part about the man feeling accepted versus feeling changed.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, it doesn't mean the woman shouldn't have tough conversations. And, you know, we're all about trying to help each other grow, et cetera. But with the garden variety of things that we all deal with, how is a woman doing pursuing her wife or her husband with acceptance?
Mm-hmm.
Second one is feeling affirmed, but for what he does do. sense, still at the end of the day, guys are very enmeshed in what they do. You know, so if the woman can affirm what he does do as a parent, as a person who's bringing in some income, as a husband, and to affirm those things that are good, we're going to have tough conversations too, but to affirm what is good, that's really powerful for the guy.
Mm-hmm. I think we spend all day talking about what we do. And people say, so what do you do for a living? That's the first question. It's not, tell me about the real you.
Yeah, right.
So we're very defined by that, and that makes it important that we get recognized as men for what we do, even though that sounds kind of cliche. I don't even know if saying that made me sound stupid.
No, it's very true. So yeah. Those are things that are even more important than the physical piece, and which is a third one. Third one is affection. And how is the relationship in the area of affection? How are they doing pursuing each other with intimacy, with snuggling, with a back rub, with mm-hmm. making love as a couple mm-hmm. in marriage? And we don't want to keep score about who's initiating, but it is neat if the woman can initiate some lovemaking sometimes. Mm-hmm. And it's a really delicate process, especially if the five P's aren't happening for her. The last thing she is thinking about is pursuing her husband with intimacy and lovemaking. So that's really a delicate one. But all I'm saying is that when there is affection and lovemaking, it's a powerful thing for the guy. It helps him feel closer to his wife.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's move on to number four.
Do we have to talk about that one? I'm just kidding. This is one where I want to be real clear what it means and what it doesn't.
Okay.
It's called attractiveness. Okay. Here's what it doesn't mean. What it doesn't mean is that the woman has to look a certain way mm-hmm. in order for her guy to feel something. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So, but instead, like for me, I was most attracted to my wife physically, emotionally, spiritually in the eighth month of her first pregnancy,
mm-hmm.
where she just had that glow. Mm-hmm. You know, she felt amazing. She felt so excited to be bearing this child, and she looked beautiful. Does that mm-hmm. make sense? So she radiated that. Mm-hmm. So when a woman feels confident herself emotionally, spiritually, physically, that is attracted to a healthy male. If it's all about objectification, things that are very destructive and hurtful in a marriage, then we're going down the wrong track.
Mm-hmm.
So all I'm saying is that men feel better about the relationship when the woman herself feels attractive spiritually, physically, emotionally.
Mm-hmm.
That's
all right.
A huge one.
Yeah. So how do you make sense of just the images we're subjected to? Let's just say you and your wife are watching a movie. And all of a sudden, you know, George Clooney comes on and he's obviously better looking than you. No offense. But, there's that, well, isn't he attractive? And mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, it works both ways, doesn't it?
It does.
How do you make that work?
Well, my own two cents about this is that I think it's fine to acknowledge somebody, mm-hmm. whether it's you or George Clooney, Bill. Hey, you look great today.
Thank you.
You know, that person is handsome, or she's beautiful. She's a beautiful woman. So I think we can be confident enough in ourselves and our marriages to acknowledge somebody's physical
mm-hmm.
Capacity to mm-hmm. be handsome or to be beautiful. But it's also being for other parts of them that are beautiful.
Right.
So it's not like we ignore those images, but it also means we don't, make that our, it's not like we're objectifying men or objectifying women. Instead, we're just acknowledging, they look beautiful. I mean, he's handsome.
Yeah. Okay, when couples come into your office for counseling, who plays the comparison game more when it comes to this attractiveness issue? Is it men or women?
In general, it's women.
Yeah.
Because women tend to feel that pressure more than guys.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that's coming from the husband, and that's not okay. Sometimes it's coming from the woman herself, which is with her own past of anxiety or perfectionism or body image issues or just the culture, like mm-hmm. you said, is just ridiculous. You
mm-hmm.
know? So those pressures are really hard.
Yeah.
And so that's why it's great when the couple can acknowledge people's beauty but also not be defined by those things.
Yeah. So what percentage have body image issues? Is it 99.9%?
Yeah. Well, again, officially, the eating disorders are three eating disorders, anorexia, bulimia, and binge eating disorder. But, those are official disorders.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're talking about just the general being hard on ourselves and how our bodies look, it is high. Yeah, I don't have any data on that. But, yeah, people are really hard on themselves with how they look.
Mm-hmm.
It's all over the place. And it transfers gender. It goes from women to men.
Yeah. All right. What about the, we're down to the, our last A.
Yeah, this is a, it's called accountability. And one of the things I've noticed in couples is that in general, when I wish I had a dollar for every time my wife said, God, we should go out with that couple. They're just amazing. Or, God, we, you know, why don't we join that couples group at church? Let's think about that. You know, she would just initiate those ideas. Not that it's her responsibility, but I just didn't have that in my mind. And when the woman offers those things to move the couple into places that are even more healthy spiritually and emotionally, that's a powerful thing. The guy goes, you know, thanks for that. That's helpful. Or I didn't even think of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my mind was on provision and our finances, and I just, that wasn't even on my mind. And thanks for bringing that up. So guys do like that when the woman can take some initiative there and offer some ideas. Doesn't mean it's all the woman's responsibility, but again, those are things that help the guy's best come out.
Mm-hmm.
He feels accepted. He feels affirmed. He gets a sense that she feels attractive. There is some touch. There is some connection physically through snuggling, through lovemaking,
mm-hmm.
just holding hands. You know, there's a physical connection. There's also that sense of accountability.
Mm-hmm. Do we overcomplicate this at times?
Yeah, that's why I try to simplify it into mm-hmm. the pursuit and the acceptance. At the end of the day, is, you know, is the guy, you know, loving his wife as Christ loved the church, like it says. So
who can do that, though? I mean, that's
oh, right.
I mean, yeah, when I hear that, I go, really? Can anybody do that?
No.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, I know that's an ambitious thing to think about, but, and a biblical thing.
Right.
So,
but practically, right.
Practically, yeah.
It comes with, I think the pursuit makes it practical. How am I thinking about her today?
Mm-hmm.
And my experience has been is when the guy is thinking about his wife and moving towards her, unless there's lots of stuff going on that's been building up for years and years and years,
mm-hmm.
that's a powerful thing.
So and, when things have been building up for years and years, how do you break through that to get a new to hit the reset button?
Well, in most cases, what's going on in that situation is that the codependent pleaser type has been building resentment and not sharing.
Mm.
And the controlling person isn't knowing that they're being controlling. And they're just directing traffic. They're making the decisions. They're doing the life. And they don't even know anything's wrong.
So he's in for a big surprise, huh?
Yep.
A big one.
Or the controlling woman is. Either one. Either one. And then at halftime, you have this big surprise and you have this big come to Jesus talk. And hopefully there isn't an affair. And hopefully there isn't something else that's really not good. So that's why I really encourage pleaser types early in the marriage to have an honest conversation if they are feeling some conflict that's not being resolved.
Mm-hmm.
Pleasers have a hard time because they think, well, if I say that, then he or she will get really upset. So that won't go well. That would be stupid to bring that up. Because
mm-hmm.
they equate God's will with the sky's party and we always have good conversations. But sometimes we have hard conversations.
Mm-hmm. So if the codependent is sweeping everything under the rug and not sharing, can it move into a place of dysfunction bigger than just codependency, like all of a sudden this person gets depressed, or can you even get to the point where other mental illnesses come as a result of this?
Yeah, and they tend to go hand in glove where a depressed person is lacking energy, has sadness, has lack of interest in activities,
mm-hmm.
perhaps has suicidal thinking. So
yeah.
that can be a result of just continuing to stuff the feelings down. Or the anxious person who lives in fear and the what-if thinking, I call it, where they instead of having what-is conversations with their spouse, they're in what-if land themselves and just afraid to bring things up. Or they have their own anxiety, their own fear. Anxiety is more common than depression or any other mental health issues. So that codependent mindset can lead to those mental health issues, or the mental health issues can create, you know, the mental health issues.
Mm-hmm.
It goes back and forth.
So the controller's taken his role, and the codependent person has taken their role, and neither are aware of the level of unhappiness that's going on underneath everything.
Yeah,
and it's just a big powder keg, isn't it?
It is, and that's why, you know, the best news is, you know, having an honest conversation, and that usually causes an initial problem where the control, and then you kind of find out, is the controlling person really coachable and just has been, you know, harsh but not really realizing, and is very teachable and loves Jesus in a way that says, boy, that's on me, and I got to create a safe place to have disagreements. My spouse needs to be able to come to me and have hard conversation. I just haven't done that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm recreating the marriage I saw. And, you know, so they have some of that step one where, you know, I get this. I'm humble, you know, blessed are the poor in spirit. You know, I get that, and I got to work on that. Mm-hmm. Then we've got a lot of hope, Bill, in the second half where that controlling type makes that adjustment, that pleaser type has their voice, and then we have a great relationship. But if the controller will not acknowledge it, and always has to be right, always has to be winning, continues kind of almost a bullying, and sometimes I've seen that person have narcissistic traits, mm-hmm. where they lack empathy, they have to be right, it's all about them.
Mm-hmm. What about if you, let's say you and your wife, now of course you're in the profession, so this is not going to be a fair question, but you see another couple who are struggling and they're horribly dysfunctional, and you want to be loving and you want to be effective as a friend. You know, because as Christians, we're all trying to help each other. Iron sharpens iron. We all want to just sort of help people. But what roles should we have? What should we try to do in situations where we see a horribly dysfunctional couple and we want to do something?
Boy, you know, I think it kind of depends on our relationship with them, Bill. You know, if one of my best friends, you know, we're out and I see him, you know, really being harsh to his wife. Mm-hmm. I might, you know, late, you know, the next day or just say, "God, I know this is really hard. I got my own stuff, but when you said I thought that was harsh. What do you think? Or how are you guys doing?" Or again, it isn't, I'm on it right away, but in those close relationships, which is really what we want to have first, mm-hmm. is develop a real close relationship. We don't want to get in their business, in my opinion, too much. But we want to offer something if we feel led to do that, but in a way that's non-offensive, in a mm-hmm. way that's saying, "Hey, I got my stuff too, you know, but I'm concerned about this. What do you think?" And if it's done well, that can, you know, lead to some prayerful stuff that's helpful, you know. So I think it depends on the kind of relationship we have, and we have to make sure that that's not all we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
But in our closest relationships, I think it's okay to call each other out.
Mm-hmm. So when... Let's take a break. All right, Todd. We'll take a break. And if you have questions for Todd, give us a call, 1-877-933-2484. We've got time for a couple of questions if you want to give us a call. You're listening to Live the Promise. Bill Arnold sitting in for the amazing Susie Larson. We'll be right back. To Live the Promise. Bill Arnold here with Todd Mullican, who's a counselor. And, you know, I was up. Todd, can you tell me the symptoms for insomnia? I was up all last night trying to think about what they are. I just cannot.
The inability to sleep.
That's it.
Yeah, sorry.
See how you can make things so simple. This is what I like about you.
Mm-hmm.
All right. This has been interesting from the idea that we both have work to do, men and women, in relationships. They need to do. And recognize what job they have. And you did an excellent job. This book is called All the Best for Couples, 5 Ways to Bring Out the Best in Your Spouse. Now, you wrote another book, too, and I just want to touch on this a little bit because there are ways to bring out the best in your kids. And one thing I think parents have to do is be congruent. About that.
Yeah, it's the first. I talk about 5 C's. For about 7 years, I interviewed kids that were coming in to see me that were in between the ages of 12 and 18 and said, you know, what are some things that your parents can do that would bring out your best? And, of course, he didn't say, oh, I want my parent to be congruent. You know, but but again, with the idea of 5 C's, this is the best. This is, I think, really important. And that is, am I living – we have 3 daughters, you know, 26, 25, 23. Am I living out my life the way I'd like them to live their life out? Be congruent, mm-hmm. versus – you know, my bed isn't made, but you better make your bed.
Right.
Hey, I'm screaming at you, so you guys better not scream. You know, right. So it's hard for the adolescent, the child, to respect their parent if the parent isn't acting respectfully.
Yeah, that makes a lot of
sense.
It's
such a big deal. Mm-hmm. And it's so freeing for the parent to know that, hey, in spite of the issues right now, if all you do is work on your own walk with God and love your children well, have some good boundaries, but live your life well, that's the way God works, mm-hmm. you know, generationally. The kids are generally going to follow that eventually.
Yeah. Okay, this is going to make people feel probably a little guilty, but be consistent.
Yeah. Because
we have a hard time being consistent.
Right. So in most homes, again, sorry for the controller pleaser paradigm, but I've seen a lot of homes where one parent's too harsh, one parent's too much of the friend.
Mm-hmm.
So one parent is too authoritative, one parent's too permissive. So mm-hmm. we want to create consistency in the home. We want to have that mix of truth and grace.
Mm-hmm.
So one of my other C's is being a compassionate parent. And the best way for me, being I was more of a pleaser parent with my girls, the best way for me to actually show compassion back in the day was actually make a tough call, you know, follow through on a correction. Because
mm-hmm.
I didn't want to, I just want to say yes, you know, because they're all girls. So it was easy.
Right.
You know? They're all boys, I'd probably be on them, you know.
Yeah.
But because we're harder on our own gender has been my experience anyway with parents. So we create consistency, Bill, when the pleaser parent can get more assertive and follow mm-hmm. through. And when the controlling parent can give their kids a chance to know their own feelings and share their feelings.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times a controlling parent doesn't allow that to happen.
Isn't that kind of a good cop, bad cop sort of thing?
It is.
And does that work?
No, you want to create a consistent deal.
Yeah. All right, Todd, we've got a caller on line one. Brad's calling. Brad, welcome to the show.
Yeah, hi. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. You have a question for Todd.
Yeah, I was calling about, you know, I've been in a relationship with what I've considered my significant other for 11 years. Started out, you know, to get married, and some things weren't revealed to her that were displeasing to her, and I've worked through my issues, and, you know, the marriage never materialized at that time. But, you know, we've been together. I say that we've been together, but we've never actually been together. But we have three kids together, and now we're moved to the point in our lives where we're living together and trying to work things out. You know, our kids are 7, 5, and 2, and she has an older daughter from before that's 15, and we just can't seem to work things out. It just, you know, we keep trying, and she doesn't hear. You know, I mean, we tried counseling. She thought that because I set up the counseling that I sabotaged it against her, and you know, I've been through prayer groups. I keep her in my prayers. You know, my son prays that mom and dad can be married someday, and
yeah,
I just don't know how to.
Yeah, a lot going on there for sure, Brad. I think what is important as you're, because there's a little bit of blending of the families too, it sounds like, with that 15-year-old. And I guess I just invite you into, you know, as the father in that home, is to be as consistent as you can and to show Christ's love to those kids, to love your significant other well, to have honest conversations, try not to be controlled if she views you as being, you know, a certain way. Just try to stay in there and be honest and be sincere and continue the honest conversations, because eventually honesty today prevents problems tomorrow. So I really empathize with your story. But I just invite you into doing the best you can in Christ to be a loving father and a loving significant other to that person.
Appreciate you being on the show, Brad. Todd, when we look at the things that we can do to be better parents and bring out the best in your kids, let's get back to the idea of being compassionate and what exactly that means.
Yeah, so I think the way as a pleaser parent, we show compassion is actually to follow through with the discipline or with the correction. Because sometimes we want to give our kids free passes because maybe our spouse is too harsh or maybe it's not that big a deal. So we tend to minimize things or mm-hmm. avoid the conflicts, if that makes sense. So I think the compassion really for the pleaser is to make the tough call. And then the compassion for the driver, Bill, is huge. Is my mood giving my kids a safe place to know their own feelings? Or am I saying, shut up and listen? You know, mm-hmm. am I giving them a chance to say what they're actually experiencing and having a dialogue? I'm still the authority in the home,
mm-hmm.
okay? But how am I doing as the directive kind of parent to slow the engine down and ask my kid how they see something?
Mm-hmm.
And that really will help build compassion in the home, and you'll see a lot less rebellion and a lot less overcompliance. You'll
mm-hmm.
see kids developing their own identities in Christ.
Yeah, but when kids push you to the limits, how do you slow things down when you just are flooded and just want to...
Yeah, and this may sound really cliche, and I apologize ahead of time, you know, because oftentimes I've heard people say, well, they just push my buttons. And mm-hmm. Well, you know, we're letting them push mm-hmm. our buttons. You know, we got the big brains, we're the big people, so we're the adults. So when the kids keep coming at us, we have to be able to regulate our own engine enough in Christ to say, hey, you know, that's hurtful when you talk to me like that. That's not okay. You know, and have a timeout, whatever age a kid is. You know,
right.
Just have an honest discussion, but try to be the person that regulates the emotions we have. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? So we're not the one that has to win. We're not the one that has to get the last word in. We're the one that stays reasonable, even if the adolescent brain is on fire.
Mm-hmm.
So which doesn't mean they run the show. We still run the show.
Right. So what does being creative mean? How does that bring out the best in your kids?
So for me, I'm an extroverted guy.
Okay.
You know, so I love to connect. And one of my kids is more introverted. So my recognizing that she is a beautiful introvert
mm-hmm.
and loves having a few friends and introspecting and reflecting, or am I trying to change her into an extrovert? Makes sense?
So sure.
Creative parent, do I know myself well enough to know the uniqueness of each of my kids?
Yes.
Versus trying to make them into me.
Yeah. So guiding them, being aware, watching them, guiding them to where they're most comfortable.
Yeah, and you're guiding them into their strengths and their lanes so they can know whose they are in Christ by versus I think the parent is really it's hard for the parent sometimes to let go of that and really say, hey, we've done our job, they're 16, we're still parenting, but their identity is really shaped quite a bit already in Christ, and let me look at what's unique about them versus trying to make them into me unintentionally.
All right, what about when parents do something wrong and they then need to confess that they've done something wrong? That's a generational thing. I don't think our generation, our parents necessarily, our dads would be the ones that would confess, I did something wrong. That's not, their dads didn't do that. You know what I mean?
I do.
Yeah, so this is a different generation, I think, of dads.
And, you know, I'll maintain that we don't lose authority when we do that. We gain respect.
I agree.
So it's not about, hey, I'm sorry. It's just about when we have made a mistake, how are we modeling that humility? Because
mm-hmm.
then the kids, when they become big people in their romantic relationships, they know how to say they're sorry too.
Yeah, it's a big deal, isn't it? Well, Todd, you know, as we look at how important relationships are and how we always need to work at, you know, making them better, the tools that you've offered today have been outstanding. I just think this is a really important subject, and I think your wisdom is outstanding, and it's always a very biblical, which I love. But I know there have been people listening today that are at a place where they're not even looking forward to tonight.
Yeah.
Because there's pain, there's anxiety, there's more stuff swept under the rug, and they're avoiding stuff, and maybe even listening to this today has depressed them a little bit, going, I don't know how I'm going to get this right.
Mm-hmm.
So would you pray for those folks? And pray that they can have the courage to speak without being offensive and to listen without being defensive.
God, thanks for who you are, Father, and your love for us. Thank you for creating a safe place for us to know that we are loved, accepted, and approved. So for those folks, God, that are feeling frightened to have an honest conversation, give them the boldness, give them the courage, give them your truth, your wisdom, your contentment that you have so that they know they are loved by you. So even in the difficult conversation that might not go well, they know whose they are, and they know that eventually the honesty and the truth will bring forth a new day, one that's full of you and full of your love and full of your truth and your grace. In Christ's name, amen.
We've been talking to Todd Mullican. You can find out more about him at toddmullican.com. You spell that MULLIKEN, toddmullican.com. Todd, this has been a great hour. Thanks so much for being on the show.
Thanks, Bill.
Yeah, and you can access all these books that we talked about today, All the Best for Parents, 5 Ways to Bring Out the Best in Your Spouse, and 5 Ways to Bring Out the Best in Your Kids. We touched primarily on Best Way to Bring Out the Best Things in Your Spouse, and that book is available at toddmullican.com. There we go. Have a great day. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you tomorrow.